Good morning.
Good morning, Colorado.
Ah, it's a lot later for you than it is for me.
Still morning, though.
Yeah. It's not afternoon, so it's got to be morning, right?
Correct. I think I just
Yeah.
found it.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, just the usual. Not too much.
Nothing exciting.
Nothing too exciting.
No Comic Cons in Buffalo.
No, too cold.
Is it cold
Actually,
over there?
today it is. The weather's been crazy though. We've been having Colorado weather. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Warm one day, cold the next day. It's all over the place, but
We had a pretty warm week. We had no snow. And it's been pretty warm the last couple of days, like in the 50s and 60s, which is really nice.
yeah, we had some warm days. We've gotten up to 60, and then it's dropped back down. This has been a cold weekend, but there were some warm days during the week.
Yeah.
Let's throw in Mabel off. She's getting spring fever. Yesterday,
Yeah.
she had all kinds of energy because she kept wanting to go out in the backyard, but it was cold. But she was thrown off because there were warm days earlier.
But she goes outside in the cold, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
It
But
just,
if in
she
the
wants to come
summer,
in a lot quicker than.
yeah, in the summer she'll hang out back there for a while, just like find a spot and chill,
Yeah.
get some sun. But she's here. She's ready to go. She's waiting for her cue. I'll tell you when it's time to go get your toy, Mabel. Make noise. But I'm not bouncing around the room or anything anymore. I'm on the futon, so I got Mabel on one side and my cat Dusty on the other side of me.
Do you usually
She's got
bounce
the whole
around the
team.
room?
Well, remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about that when last time Rob was on.
Oh yeah, we were talking about not Bouncing Boy, but God dang, what's his name? Speedball.
Yeah, Speedball.
Yeah.
Actually, what was going on was I dropped my laptop and cracked the screen.
How did why were you carrying your laptop around?
Actually, it was on top of something. It was on top of my dresser,
Yeah.
and my headphones were connected to it. And
Man, go wireless, man.
I forgot, and I walked away and pulled it. The headphones didn't come unhooked. It dragged the laptop off the dresser and smashed it. So I had it plugged in with the HDMI cable to monitor,
Yeah.
and for a couple weeks. But I took it apart and actually replaced the screen. And
On the laptop? That's
yeah.
pretty impressive. I didn't
Yeah,
know you were replaceable.
YouTube, thanks to YouTube. It was not too bad.
Where'd you get a part for just the monitor for a laptop? You just
I end up at Amazon. But one of the things I found that advice was to actually not go by the model of your computer, but to actually open it up first and look at the one that you broke and see what the model number of that is,
Yeah.
and order the part based on that. So I did that. So when the monitor came, I already had experience opening it up. It's the second time because I had actually opened it up once before to replace the connector, the internal connector for the battery,
Yeah.
where it plugs in. That had gotten loose and was so I
It
couldn't
wasn't
charge
charging.
it. Yeah. That actually took longer because I had to actually take most of the laptop apart. I had to take the keyboard off and all this stuff. But
How much does a part like that cost, just out of curiosity, for a monitor?
The monitor, it was like, it was around 60, 65.
Okay.
Yeah, I decided, because, I mean, if it would have been a lot, then that obviously would have made more sense just to get a new laptop,
Yeah,
but.
yeah, yeah. I thought it would be like I don't know, 150 to 200. Sixty's still a good price.
Yeah, I mean that's probably 150, 200 probably be what it would cost if I had somebody do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Good deal.
It's only a thin little cable that comes out of the base of the laptop that
Yeah.
connects to the actual LCD. And that's just a few little screws that's holding it into place. I did screw up the cable that connects to the camera, so that I can't show you myself anymore. But
Oh, damn.
that always seemed to cause you a lot of trauma anyway, so it's probably for the best. It'll
Yeah.
save you on therapy bills a little bit.
Especially when you did the tuck and started dancing to that song from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that was. I shouldn't have been drinking that much that early in the morning. Too many Bloody Marys.
My last Marvel box. What is it called? Collector's Core? I think it's the Collector's Core. I get them confused. Legion of Collectors and then Collector's Core. It came with like these little tiny Captain America and Red Skull things. They're so awesome. They just have these huge heads. They almost look like those little things used to. I forget what they are. They're like an Asian doll where you like open it up and there's a smaller one and you open the other one up and there's a smaller one.
Oh yeah, and, they're originally from Russia, I think. I think they're
Oh,
called.
Russian. Yeah, the
I
Russian.
think they call them nesting dolls or something like
Yeah,
that.
yeah. They remind me of like if you opened up the last one, this is what you get. I don't know, they're kind of weird. Except they have huge heads.
How big are they?
Oh man, they're about an less than an inch.
Oh, okay.
But they're cool. I wish
Yeah.
I could collect toys again. Because there are a lot of things, like I'll go to Target and I'll see like they have these metal things now and they have like this metal Wonder Woman that's pretty big. They're heavy. They're like the I forget what they call them. And then they have the little teeny ones. They're like die-cast metal. They don't look like atomically correct, but they look more like a pop,
Yeah.
distorted.
Yeah, I've
But
seen those, yeah.
yeah, I
It
kind of
gets
want. I just
expensive.
it gets expensive, but I just it's for me it's more space than anything.
Yeah,
I have to
that
spend
too.
a week in the basement just doing stuff, and I don't want to. It's like one of those things I don't want to do. But I have
Yeah.
to do it.
Yeah, it's nice to have enough around to decorate.
Yeah.
Get something every once in a while, change it up.
Well, I'm out of
But yeah.
space for my statues, but I've still been buying them. Like the CoverGirl statues, the what bombshells. So I have like this tower. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like this tower where I have the statues in like a glass casing.
Yeah, I
Well,
remember seeing a picture of that a long time
there's
ago.
like the top part. The top part's totally open, but it's really high. I'm gonna start putting them on there just for lack of space.
Did you? I thought you quit the statues, or was that?
I did, but man, there's some I can't.
Yeah.
Like I buy some odds and ends. I'm not a completist. Like I
Yeah.
like Firestorm a lot. Like I just find his character like really appealing, like just his costume. Like I think it's one of the best, flaming head, just like Ghost Rider. You give me a flaming head and you already have won me over, And I just like the icons that are on his chest and stuff and the color scheme. Like Mr. Miracle's another one, but there's certain ones that I'll always just get, even though I don't even have the room.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly ones that are tempting sometimes in the solicits.
You know the ones that I really regret that display really, really well, and I stopped getting, I don't know, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, are the Batman black and whites. Those statues just display amazing, and they're all just different artistic representations of the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of regret stopping that, but I don't have any room for them. But those are awesome.
Yeah, I like the bombshell ones. Are those are really cool because I like that the retro design
Yeah.
of them. If I had the money and the space, I might have gone in on those. I remember they had that Harley Quinn motorcycle one that was really awesome looking
Oh
too.
God, those are like $300.
Yeah.
If they were not that pricey, and they're so big. They're so big. If they were scaled down like a little smaller and were like more in the 150 price range, I would have been all over them, 'cause they have the Wonder Woman one now on the
Yeah.
motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah. I would need to make a lot more money to spend that much on a statue, though. Like, not just double
Yeah.
my salary. I'd have to be making, like, enough money that I didn't really even know what to do with it, you know?
And then when you do find them for cheap, you're not logistically in a place where you could easily not pay like $30 to ship it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To not break it and stuff.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
like so it offsets the cost and then doesn't make the savings worthwhile.
Right.
'Cause I'll like go to a con and I'll like see a statue that I really want, and I'm like, wow. And then you find out what you could get it for, and you're like, that's pretty good price. And then especially on Sundays when they're trying to get rid of shit, and
Right.
I just have no logistic way to get it there and not put the cost back into it, you know,
Yeah,
to
yeah.
ship it.
Yeah, the
It's
same.
not something I could carry on the plane easily.
Right. Yeah, same thing kind of happens in, with eBay too.
Yeah.
Even with comic books where, you know, you can take a certain amount back in your suitcase and stuff, but at a certain point, you can only fit so much.
And you know what I'm, you know how I have the squirrel thing and I go through all these weird moods? My latest mood is not old comics, it's older collected edition or collected editions of older comics. Like I'm
Yeah.
starting to really love the collected editions.
I can't be actually I just I've been into a mood of picking up some stuff that I'm tired of waiting for to go on Marvel Unlimited that I want to read.
Yeah.
And it seems actually with the Epic collections, it seems like they do end up if it's something. Like there's a lot of stuff that they're doing the Epic collections of that's already on Unlimited and it's been on there for a while, like Avengers, Fantastic Four, like they've had a complete run of those on there for a long time, but there's other stuff that's come out that I've noticed that they end up after a period of time end up adding to Marvel Unlimited, like the Moon Knight and Iron Fist and Power Man, that stuff
Yeah.
wasn't. That wasn't on Marvel Unlimited, and then maybe after a period of time, they ended up putting it on there after the Epic Collections came out. But they, I've built up a lot of credit with my comic shop, and I've started using some of that. And I just got
So
in,
have you been selling stuff for them or what? I mean, selling stuff to them or what?
yeah, for a while, I was, for a while, I had been selling my new comics to them after I read them.
Oh, nice.
So,
Do they give you decent credit or is it?
yeah, generally, generally it's like maybe like 50% or a
Which is
little
pretty
less than
good
that,
if
maybe
you
like
got them from
40%.
DCBS, so you're kind of making your money back.
Yeah, almost, yeah, almost. I mean, you take the risk that with some stuff, with new stuff, a lot of times they only want it if it's very fine or near mint.
Yeah.
So if something does happen to one of them, like you take a risk
Well,
of maybe a couple.
do they notify you though, saying, "Hey, you gave me a fine copy of this, and I'm not interested," or what do they do? Just discredit you or lower it?
Yeah, you have to accept it. Some, like most time if you sell older stuff, it has a price grade all the way down through the various conditions, and then they'll just grade it. And if say you select it at very fine, and then they grade it at fine, they just give you the amount. But with the newer stuff, they kind of are only interested in very fine or new mint, near mint, and they tell you like there's very clear warnings before you submit it that if you know you're submitting something that has that aspect to it, so you know what you're doing. And generally what I've found that there is that there might be like two or three issues that they end up downgrading and that I don't get anything for. But on the whole it ends up being worth it to me, so 'cause I it's just a way of kind of getting rid of them when getting some of my money back
Sure.
if I'm not gonna collect it or don't have the space. So I started using some of that credit, and one of the things I got in was the Black Panther Epic Collection.
Oh, nice. I've been getting those too, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't started reading it yet, so that's why I was just talking about it right here. But
Yeah.
because
I love them. You're the one that was the first person that told me about this. And I
right.
was like, I remember telling you this, that's ridiculous. You start on
I
volume
know.
20, it's like stupid. And man, I've done a 180 on that, man.
Yeah.
I almost like
Well,
love it's out of order.
I mean, to me, I think that they're nice quality.
Yeah,
They're
I just got X Factor in which is the first volume, but it has
cool.
other things in it, like what led up to X Factor. Like it's got Avengers 263, Fantastic Four 286, and Amazing Spider-Man and Iron Man, stuff that tied into a X Factor,
Yeah,
which
that's
I like a
what's
lot.
cool. That's what's cool about them is sometimes there's stuff that you wouldn't even be aware were relevant. Like it might be like stuff from like Marvel Comics Presents or some kind of side thing. So they're nicely curated, if you want to call it that. But reason I was excited about this Black Panther one is because for the longest time I've wanted them to put the Jungle Action issues, the Don McGregor stuff on Marvel Unlimited, and it just was never on there because I had heard such good stuff about it. So that's why I grabbed that and why I'm excited to get into it because it's got the Fantastic, it's got his first appearances in Fantastic Four, and then it's got all the Jungle Action stuff in there. So Jungle Action being the name of the series that those stories appeared in.
See, Black Panther's a big deal to me, but that's one series that I don't own the full run of is Jungle Action.
Yeah, they're probably
I own all the volumes
probably
of
hard to
Black
find.
Panther. I even own the first Fantastic Four with his first appearance. It's just the Jungle Actions I'm missing. Never got.
Yeah.
And Don McGregor was famous for Sable, right? I mean, that's his independent work.
Yeah.
Not
Which I
John
think would.
Sable, but Sable.
Or is it Saber?
Saber. Yeah, there you
Saber,
go.
yeah, because I think I talked about one of those. But so yeah, the other thing I have coming on the way is that I don't know why they didn't do these as epic collections. Maybe the size is different or something, but they're starting to probably because they have that new Cloak and Dagger TV series that they're working on. And so I ordered they started to collect Cloak and Dagger. So I ordered the f there's a new one coming out this month, but I ordered the first one of those because it collects all the it starts off with all the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man, including their first appearance, which is
I bought
their
that
first
too.
appearance is kind of nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming.
But you know why I bought it? Because I'm like, why isn't this an Epic Collection? It sure sounds like an Epic Collection.
Exactly, yeah, and
So
they're
I'm
coming
like,
out with
well,
an.
I read the solicit and I said, oh wow, it's got the Spectacular Spider-Man, it's got the mini series. It's why isn't this an Epic Collection? I gotta order it because it's like an Epic Collection. I did the same thing for Son of Satan, because the volume didn't have Epic on it, but it has the look and feel of an Epic Collection. It's like an Epic Collection.
Yeah, it's weird. I might have to look into that Son of Satan one too, because I know because on top of it, like I said, they're coming out with another volume, I think this month, of the Cloak and Dagger, and it follows right in line with, like you said, the first one has the Peter Parker issues and the mini series, and then the next things that Cloak and Dagger were in was their first solo series, that got turned into then Strange Tales with Doctor Strange, and
Yeah.
it's got the 11 issues of the mini series and like the first two Cloak and Dagger stories from Strange Tales, so it's definitely like volume two picking up right where the first one left off.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's just
I
maybe
wish
with it.
that I wish they'd
Oh.
get into the Punisher and Ghost Rider. That's what I wish.
Yeah, that was another thing. Well, first I was gonna say just maybe the only thing I could think of is that with maybe with the Epic Collections, maybe they are like really committed to publishing all of them, no matter what the sales are. To an
Yeah.
extent, and to an extent, I'm sure. Like sales are always going to affect things to a degree, but Marvel has generally been better about that than DC, as we've talked about. But so maybe with Cloak and Dagger and like other ones that they're not calling the Epic Collection, they're doing that because it's a little more like sales based, whether they'll keep putting them out or not.
It could be too that there's just not enough material to call it an epic collection.
Yeah.
Like it's one book. Like Son of Satan pretty much gave you everything. Like another book that came out recently, which I'm actually going to cover a little bit of in this episode, is the Elektra Complete Collection, which is the full run of her first ongoing. And it has the whole thing, 1 through 19 and minus
Yeah.
1.
Yeah, I guess with Cloak and Dagger, they could do at least like four of them, I would think. Maybe three. I don't know, 'cause well, they had the Strange Tales, which was like
They
18 or
had their
19 issues.
ongoing.
And then after Strange Tales, they got their them and Doctor Strange split up into their own series again, which was like Mutant
Yep.
Misadventures of Cloak and Dagger. And then that was kind of it. So they'd at least be able to,
They
like,
had a
definitely
couple
doing
one
two.
shots too after that.
Yeah.
That just
So
appeared.
they could they're definitely publishing two. They definitely could do three and maybe four collections,
I
but.
remember reading them like Cloak and Dagger, the very first Cloak and Dagger with Silvermane. As the drug pusher, I remember getting those off of the spinner rack and I was like really interested. I'm like, man, they got like drug users as superheroes. I'm like, that's weird. But
Yeah, I think
it was
my.
different at the time, and I remember they were hot. Like they were like it's fun to like see a superhero become popular, like something that they just introduce, and then bang, they have like this little cult following.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they fascinated me because I did have an issue of Strange Tales. When I was a kid, amongst my very early Marvel comics, I ended up with an issue of that, so they kind of fascinated me. I've always that it's a duo,
Yeah.
dark and light, kind of that contrast, and it's kind of interesting. But so yeah, so that's some stuff. That's a lot of that stuff. A lot of that Cloak and Dagger stuff. None of that really is on Marvel Unlimited, and
You said they were pretty much, they didn't have a lot of Ghost Rider either, at, like about a year ago when you covered a Ghost Rider book.
yeah, I haven't checked recently, but I mean, they're always adding stuff. Every Monday, not only do they add whatever new issues came out 6 months ago, but they always are adding maybe like 10 issues to the back catalog.
Yeah.
So there's always new stuff going on there, and there's already plenty of stuff to be worth the price. But every once in a while, you just like some stuff you think, oh, that's pretty tangential. Like I'm not surprised that it's not on there. But every once in a while, you go looking for something, and it's kind of strange that's not on there.
How do you know what's new? Like every week you say you get a new, they upload some new comics.
Yep. I mean, you can get an email and stuff, but it's really easy just to log into the app on the front page, the very first page of the app, the home page. It'll have like a banner across the top, and then it's kind of like Netflix, how there's rows of stuff as you scroll down, you know? And the first row, it'll show whatever you've read recently.
Yeah.
And then the next row under that, it's what's new. And that gets updated every Monday, and you can just scroll, just like Netflix, you can scroll to the right through everything that's been added that Monday. Yeah, and like I said, it's pretty much everything that came out exactly 6 months ago, and then a handful, usually maybe like 10 issues or so of or more of just I don't know what they're like. Rhyme or reason is to what they add. Like sometimes I can see a connection to like movies or TV shows that are coming out. Like I noticed that they kind of bulked up Doctor Strange a bit prior to the movie coming out, like assuming that people might go looking for that stuff. But then other times it's just kind of like, I wonder why they decided to add that. Yeah, and it also does seem to connect to other things, like maybe Epic Collections, like because they cleaned up the digital issue or did the scans or whatever for the Epic Collection, got it ready. They'll wait a little while and then add it to Unlimited as well. But
Well, we have a few questions. I thought we would
okay,
cover
cool.
some of these throughout the episode. So the first one's from Nick Wetmore. He's from the Nerdy Legion podcast.
Yes.
And he asked, what was your first non-Capes and Cowls series that got into and drew you to it? Like, I don't know
That's
if
a
he
good.
means like something that you got hooked on, like, or something you just randomly picked up.
Yeah, or maybe just something that you liked, enjoyed. That's a good question. I have to think about it for a minute. Unless you don't have any answer.
Well, for me, I guess the first comic I bought off the shelf wasn't with my own money, was not a Cape and Cowl, believe it or not. It was Ghosts. It was a DC book. It
Right,
was a
okay, yeah.
20-cent edition. So, but I didn't like, when I was younger, I didn't like know the difference between really Marvel and DC. A comic was a comic. And I think what sold me on Ghosts was, at the time, I hated to be scared, but I also love to be scared. It's a weird thing, and I still like it today. That's why I like horror movies in general. It's like you like to be terrified. You don't like to be in that situation and have it be for real. But
Right.
you like to be scared for entertainment. I do. So yeah, Ghost was one of the first ones, and then. He's not a cape and cowl, but he is the law. Judge Dredd was the one that I collected, which I consider more in the sci-fi genre than a superhero. He's a cop in the future. But you could say he's a cape and a cowl because his costume is pretty, I don't know. It looks like a cape and a costume.
Well, I guess not as long as it's not superhero.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I definitely would say that I was strictly into superhero comics. I know that around the time that I first started reading comics at all, there were definitely some like kids' comics mixed in, like Star Comics, like Marvel Star Comics with
Yeah.
that kind, which actually, ironically, I actually have one that I'm going to talk about today.
Planet Terry.
No, but I did see ads for that.
Garf, no, Hi Heathcliff.
No. Do I want to keep guessing or
Ewoks or droids?
no.
Holy mackerel.
It's closer to superheroes than other Star Comics. I guess you could technically say it's superheroes, but it's a Star comic and
I
it's
am not an expert. Matter of fact, if you told me to how many Star comics that I own, I maybe two.
yeah. I don't know how many I had. I know I had some, but I didn't really. Once I actually started collecting superhero comics for real, I didn't really pay much attention to them or keep them or anything. So I don't know if I would really count that as an answer to the question. So it really wasn't till I got back into comics in like around 2000. I tried some superhero comics, but and what I really started to get into was when I found stuff that was non-superhero and got pretty intrigued by it. Stuff like 100 Bullets, Preacher, Powers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know which one of those would be the first because it was all around the same time. I was just really like, because when I now I realize that in the 80s and stuff, there were things like Epic and Indies and like First and those kind of things that I've gone back and I've talked about. We've both talked about on this show, John Sable and things like that. But I wasn't really aware that those existed when I was a kid.
I was aware, but I didn't buy them until later.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw some ads here and there or just saw them on the newsstand at the comic shop or something, but I so thoroughly ignored them that they might as well not have existed.
Yeah.
So when I did get back into comics and started discovering some of those series I mentioned, it was kind of like a revelation almost.
I
Like,
can name
wow.
like a lot of stuff that later in life, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Vertigo was a big imprint that was non-superhero, but what got me into Vertigo was the superhero stuff with Swamp Thing and Animal Man. Do you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
Doom Patrol. Though that's what got me into that world. But I mean, there was Tomb of Dracula.
Yeah, I definitely
Some
didn't read that
Werewolf
till
by
I'm about.
Night. It was mostly horror sci-fi for me, for
Yeah.
sure. Star Trek I was big into, but not the Gold Key Star Trek, the DC Star Trek, and Conan. But Conan was weird, as we used to, like I said, we used to go to those family vacations in the truckster, and we'd stop at these like Stuckey's, and they'd have a spinner rack, and they didn't always have like a great selection, at least what I wanted. So I'd get whatever was there, and I got in.
Yeah.
That's how I got into King Conan, and a couple of other things that were just different that I wouldn't normally purchase if you threw me at like a comic shop or back home, you know.
Right. That was one of the kind of weird and also cool things about having comics on newsstands is that, and not having the internet, and you just ended up with reading some things that you never would otherwise.
Yeah.
Just because they happened to have it at the gas station, that was all you had to choose from. It's also weird to think that some of those series that I just mentioned from around 2000 are old enough to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
That were like all the way up to 2007. It's
Yeah,
kind of
definitely could
crazy.
talk about, 100 Bullets and Preacher for sure.
Yeah.
Any of that Vertigo stuff. Matter of fact, the stuff that I'm talking about, I can't believe how old it is.
Yeah.
It seems like it was just yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, I still kind of think of those series as new, like they're newer. But I actually there was a sale in Comixology, like I think it was last year. I forgot I even I logged into my Comixology first time in the longest time, and I was looking through it was in there, and I don't have them in a database or anything like that. Like I have my regular comics, so I forget. I gotta almost like set up a separate database for digital or something so I could even just remember what I've got.
My
Where
database supports digital, believe it or not.
I mean, I could add it. I could just separate. Like, I just would want to keep it separate so I don't get confused what I own in paper and digital.
Yeah.
So I'd either have to flag it some way, or I mean, I can create separate data. I think I would just prefer to create a whole separate database within the program and flip between them. But anyways, I realized that I had actually bought all the Preacher's collections digitally when they were on sale. Because I would like to reread that at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were on sale around when the TV show started.
Yeah, for the Vertigo stuff, I went to trade on a lot. It's weird. I did the Bill Bomer, like check the first issue out and then go to Vertigo trade, and then I went back to singles.
Yeah, I mean
So,
that's, I think that's how I read Preacher originally too, was in, at least most of it was in was in trades, like physical trades, but I don't have them anymore. I must have sold them or something.
yeah, I was just looking at my database. Like, if I go in there, how do I select it's a digital copy?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know it supports it. I just never looked at it because I never cared.
Right.
I saw it on the release notes. I just but now you got me curious. I gotta find out. I'm gonna
Yeah, I
go
mean, I just it's
out
something I have to do at
there.
some point because I just have gotten, I've got enough stuff on Comixology and enough stuff like through like Humble Bundles and stuff like that that I just forget that I have them, in a way that I, they're just not in my mental space in a way that the
Physical
physical
copy.
comics I have are, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they would be if I actually spent the time to catalog them because I think that's why the physical ones I have are sort of in my head.
Yeah.
But
You want to jump into one of your books?
sure. Well, that was a good question, Nick. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll end the mystery and talk about the Star comic that is actually in Peter Porker,
Oh.
The Spectacular Spider-Ham, number 2. I found this is not on Marvel Unlimited. I found this in a 50-cent bin, and I guess it was kind of lucky because I looked at my comic shop, and actually, the these Spider-Ham issues must be kind of hard to find, because they're not cheap, actually.
Well, they're probably very low print runs. And
Yep.
they probably became hot during Spider-Verse because he was one of the characters.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
And I bet you any they probably had him, and then Spider-Verse came out, and then they just vanished. And then they just don't have enough. Like,
Probably, yeah.
if you have a low print run, the danger is you have people like me who don't sell. Like, right, it's caught in a collection that's not for
Right.
sale for a while anyway. And then the ones that you do come across, the demand is higher than it's the availability, and then causes it to go up. So I bet you were
Yeah.
seeing like double digits, like maybe $20 an issue or 15 or.
I think they maybe were more like around $8 or something like
Okay.
that, but it was more than I was expecting for, a Star
Oh, for a
comic,
Star comic, yeah.
but it is like I said, a little more connected than that's why I was saying it was kind of superhero, 'cause, and kind of more connected, you know, than like than other Star comics.
Yeah, I forgot that was a Star comic.
Yeah, I know I had at least one issue of this series when I was a kid, 'cause I've always been aware of Spider-Ham as a thing.
I sure like to look that up, like what the Marvel Star comic lineup was.
Yeah, there were quite a few. Most of them were licensed characters. But then you had, I think, but then you had Spider-Ham. But anyway, this is actually written by Steve Skeets. The penciler was Mark Armstrong. Inks by Joe Albello. Steve Mellor, colors. Basically, the only name other than Steve Skeets that I recognize is the editor, which is Larry Hama. So this is called Of Buzzards and Bullfrogs. And it starts off with Spider-Ham holding on to the tail of Buzzard, which is basically the vulture. And they're, I don't know if this is like a, was like a cliffhanger in the last issue as to why they're in this situation. But Buzzard can't really carry both of their weight. And Spider-Ham actually recognizes that the house that they're floating above is that of J. Jonah Jackal, who's his boss in this universe as well. So he, as they get closer to the ground, Spider-Ham webs a street light, street lamp, and swipes out of the way and lets Buzzard hit the ground. He goes flat like a cartoon character. J. Jonah Buzzard is actually homesick, so they show him wake up because of the noise outside. It's kind of funny. He's got a box full of cold tablets, a box full of aspirin, and a box full of chicken soup. So he's pretty prepared there. So the police supervillain squad come and pick up Buzzard, and J. Jonah Buzzard, sorry not to say James in there, he goes outside to see what's going on, and he gets smacked in the head with a newspaper from the paper boy. And to add insult to injury, he finds out that it's not even his own paper, the Daily Beagle, but a paper called the Morning Scandal. He stalks down the street and finds out that on top of that, the newsstand nearby is only selling the Morning Scandal, so he's pretty ticked off.
I have a quick question. Does this like read down, or is it pretty much like all ages, like across the board, or is it like meant for kids?
I feel like it's all ages.
Oh, okay.
I was entertained by it. It's certainly not it's certainly dense. Like, it's kind of funny that it takes a lot longer to read than today's comics.
Yeah,
Like most pages have like
I just read the latest Batman. It took me like 5 minutes.
there's like 6 to 9 panels on most of the pages, and it's pretty dialogue heavy and stuff, but yeah, I mean it's entertaining. Basically from here you basically have two plots that end up coming together. One is that from here Spider-Ham spots Hoppity Harrison, aka the nefarious Bullfrog, who's a criminal. So he follows him, and then meanwhile the various workers at the Daily Beagle, they are dealing with the whole competition with the Morning Scandal newspaper. So that's your two plots, and there's I'm not sure what this guy is. He's like a there's a pig, I think he is, and then there's a rabbit that works at the Daily Beagle with glasses. He's kind of like the smart one. And then there's a guy. He's black with, I don't know if he's supposed to, yeah, like sunglasses, like pink sunglasses. I don't know if he's, what kind of animal he's supposed to be. So they start analyzing. J. Jonah Buzzard shows up at the Daily Beagle, and they start talking about the competition from the Morning Scandal and how it's like basically a gossip rag. And he sends all his workers out to figure out what's going on with this newspaper. And yeah, the just to give you a sample of the dialogue, the rabbit always talks in like really big words and very analytical. Like he's, they're pursuing this person that probably works for the newspaper. He says, "True, she couldn't have proceeded in any of the four directions we usually think of, but there are two other vectors you failed to consider: up, and more importantly, down." So that's the way, kind of way he always he talks. It gives. There's definitely characterization that's accomplished through dialogue. So they're following this female animal that they find digging in celebrity trash. It says McJaguar on the can. But so they're doing that while Spider-Ham is following the bullfrog guy who's going to pick up his superhero or a supervillain outfit at the dry cleaner. And the Daily Beagle workers, they follow this woman underground. They find her, like there's this printing press underground that these rats are working at. So they get mixed up in that while Spider-Ham, he follows Bullfrog to the to a movie opening called The Gangland Follies. And the two storylines kind of converge. Bullfrog has come up with the idea that he's going to try to rob a bunch of the people that like the celebrities that are showing up at this movie opening. But the movie opening happens to actually be like the actors that are there that starred in the movie happen to be crooks. The one says, it's actually a play. So he says, "The cast of the play? That's right, Sonny. Though to tell you the truth, we're not really actors at all. Rather, we're present day gangsters who just happen to be dressed up as our 1920 counterparts." So these guys are like, they came up this scheme to, star in a play about 1920s gangsters, even though they're really jewel thieves in real life, and they figure they could. So basically, they're doing the same thing that Bullfrog is, but on a bigger scale. So the two storylines end up coming together as Spider-Ham stops them and the Bullfrog and the workers of the Daily Beagle. They ended up getting. Being able to get on the sides of the rats that were being used by this gossip rag and sort of break them out of their slavery, and they put an end to the whole shebang. But yeah, like I was saying, it's actually a pretty dense read, and the art's very cartoony, but really well done. And it has a backup story, which was a quicker read and was a bit more like whereas the main story kind of feels like a regular comic book, the backup story feels a little bit more like Sunday newspaper comic-y. But it was still pretty funny. It's all done by Steve Miller. It's the Uncanny X-Bugs. So you got like Cyclops, Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Colossus, Storm, all as bugs.
First
And
appearance of the X-Bugs.
is it nice?
Yeah.
So they go to
And a collector's item right there.
nice. They go to Professor X-Bug, which is, he's like a worm with a diploma hat, or not, like a graduation hat to show he's smart, I guess. And yeah, they go up against Mag Squeedo for Magneto. So they go after him, and they have like a, they attack him. It's funny that they Wolverine actually like slices him in half, but because it's a cartoon, it just like he goes back together. But it all turns out that they screwed up because Meg Squeedo is gone legit. He's in the scrap metal business now. He's got Meg Squeedo's junkyard, Cash for Trash. So they screwed up and shouldn't have attacked him in the first place. So they take off as he throws cans at them. Like Professor X-Bug says, "Follow me, men. Another adventure awaits." So,
What's
but
the
yeah, it
cover
was
price
actually,
on there? 60?
cover price was 65 cents.
Ah.
So, yeah, it was entertaining.
So some of the star titles, like Heathcliff, I think that's the one I have an issue of. Peter Porker had to be one of their more popular ones, I would imagine. But they had like Wally the Wizard and Thundercats and Strawberry Shortcake and Planet Terry. Muppet Babies, Masters of
Yeah,
the Universe,
I think I had a
Madballs,
Muppet Babies. Oh, I think I had
yeah,
a Madballs issue too.
and
Elf.
Humanoids, Fraggle Rock,
Elf, they had. Elf had a lot of issues, actually.
Alf wasn't a star.
Oh, it wasn't a star?
No.
Huh.
They had the Flintstone Kids, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Care Bears. Yeah, Alf was on its own. Like, it was like one of those TV. I don't think it ever had the star
Oh yeah, you're right.
banner on
Because
it.
I
I
didn't
own
read it
some of
this time.
those.
I picked up an
Five
issue of
through
Elf
ten.
too.
I
I picked
liked
up number
Alf at the
five.
time. At least I didn't watch every season, but I watched the first season, I think.
Yeah, we used to watch it. I'll probably read Elf number five for the next episode.
That's interesting because that's the first one I own. Number five.
Nice. I grabbed this one because I'm pretty sure this is. I might have had more than this, but I definitely had this issue when I was a kid. Number
Yeah.
five, I recognize the cover.
All
But
right. Good deal.
yeah, something a little
You're
different.
playing in a wheelhouse that I had never gotten into.
Yeah, try to change it up once in a while.
Yeah.
Do some different stuff.
I think if I was to get into the Star Universe, it would be more for a collectability thing than like a desire, just based on the properties. I think if I was to
Yeah.
touch any of them, the one that I'd be interested the most is Defenders of the Earth, because that's the King Syndicate, Flash Gordon, Phantom, and stuff.
Oh,
It was
okay.
based on the
Oh, that's
animated
cool.
series. So I would go after that, maybe Peter Porker. Masters of the Universe wouldn't be bad for me because I like them. And Star Wars, which was the droids and Ewoks.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go too far with it
Yeah.
myself. If Peter Porker, if those were cheaper, I'd collect them, but
Rocky and Bullwinkle might not be bad just because I've always liked those characters. And I love the Flintstones, so I would maybe get into the Flintstone Kids.
Oh yeah, Flintstone Kids. I forgot about
Yeah,
that.
yeah. So
Little
yeah,
Fred.
it's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
For my choice, I'm gonna talk about Elektra, and this is her first ongoing, and it's by Peter Milligan and Mike Diodato Jr. Mike Diodato's done a lot of work, man. I'm just seeing a lot of it recently. I guess I'd never realized how much he'd done, and he's still pretty prolific in comics. But I like his older style better. Now his style looks more how could I photorealistic. His style back then looked very much like an image type style, but it was his own. Like you'd be able to see him draw women and you'd know it was his artwork. Like I know they just came up with his Wonder Woman run, on in trade paperback.
Oh, right.
They're pushing a lot of Wonder Woman trades now. They're starting to beef up the library because of the upcoming movie, and she was in Batman versus Superman.
Right.
Yeah, so he has that one trade that came out. But this man, I read the first issue here. This, I was like, okay, this is like an epic collection. And I like Peter Milligan. I like his style of writing. Here it's like really weird. And I was like, man, when I read this first story, I was like, do I even like it? It's weird because this guy owns like a dance studio and he's like being attacked by ninjas. And I'm like, why the hell would a dance studio guy get attacked by ninjas? These guys are dressed up like ninjas, but they don't fight like ninjas. They're just regular crooks. So I don't even understand why they were pestering this guy. The other thing is this dance studio guy's watching Elektra fight and he's like, "Man, you got moves. Is I can build a whole play around you." It's just so weird. This isn't like the Elektra that I know from Frank Miller's Daredevil. It's like bizarre. And this is the time where she's trying, like she's back from the dead. Bullseye had killed her. She's back from the dead. She's trying to not live a dark life. She was an assassin for Kingpin before this, and now she's trying to like be the good girl, be a superhero type person. She owns a dojo that's nearly bankrupt. Like she could barely afford her monthly payments, if that. She has like a boxer working there, which is kind of weird for a dojo, and some other guy. And she takes one of these ninjas and over there and says, "Can you train him? Because he was in the wrong path. Like he was going down the dark path, and he wants redemption." So she just drops him off there. It's just weird. And then they this every now and then, and it doesn't explain what they do, Logan, Wolverine just shows up on his motorcycle and they go for a ride and they kind of shoot the shit. That's all they do. They just start talking about stuff. They'll be on the
There's buddies.
motorcycle. Yeah. And you find out that in issue two, she's being stalked by Bullseye. So Bullseye's out to kill her a second time. There's this group of rich people, I haven't figured out what their motive is, that just wants Elektra dead. So they hire Bullseye a second time, but for months he's been taking pictures of her and like analyzing her because he wants to strategically take her down. And she ends up fighting Bullseye. And then this is an odd thing. They're fighting in an alleyway, and Elektra's getting her ass kicked. Like she thinks she's gonna die again, but she sometimes gets a second wind because there's this father and daughter who are in New York City, and I guess they recently lost the mom. The mom passed away of cancer or something, and he's with the daughter, and he spent so much on medical bills that he's broke and he needs to find a job. So they're going to live with the mother's mom and dad just for a while till he could get his feet on the ground. So they ended up in this alleyway and the father gets killed and the 16-year-old girl just goes thinks Elektra's responsible. So she's like, you killed him, you killed him, I hate you, I hate you." And she goes to the hospital. They try to save the father. Father's dead. She defeats Bullseye, but she leaves him there. So she didn't kill him. She just left him to attack again, but he's just there. And this girl breaks out of the hospital, leaves her grandparents, and decides she wants to go out on her own. She's like real vengeful. And the first thing that she runs into is these Russian pimps who make her a prostitute, who
Whoa.
Elektra has to then save the 16-year-old girl later on from this prostitution ring and take down these dudes.
Wow.
And that meanwhile, this dance studio guy's in the subplot. Like he's preparing all this stuff in his studio for her to do dance work, and she still hasn't done dance work, so I don't know what the hell's up with that. And then they find out what the one of the main villains that hired well, I think he's related to why Bullseye was after is the architect. And he seems like to have the ability to just like burn shit down. Like it's weird. Like he's a pyromaniac, but he's not. And she actually fights the architect with the help of Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is in this incarnation, man, he's a real jerk. Like he's just really bizarre. But this series is like so, I don't know how to say it. It's so choppy and weird that it has my interest. Not because it's like fantastic, but because it's so bizarre. So
Yeah, sounds like it.
yeah, there's even some scenes that I think are so bad that they're good. At least for me, they are.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm still up. Wonder what's up with that dance studio guy. There's something shady going on there. And I was like,
So is
"What?
that.
I doesn't even explain why ninjas are after him in the first place. Like, I don't even get it. And they're not even ninjas. They're just like me and you if we dressed up in ninja garb, got our asses kicked by Elektra."
That's a pretty scary idea. I
Yeah.
wonder, so was that a mini series or is that a.
It was an ongoing. It lasted, I think, 18 issues. And
Wow.
one, do you remember they had the minus one issues?
Yeah.
It had one minus one issue. So yeah, I'm enjoying it,
Interesting.
and it is dense. It takes a good, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to read, as opposed to, like, if I go read a DC comic now, it's 5 to 10, depending on it, what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd recommend it for everyone, but if you're like a fan of Elektra and you want to know this time period of her life, or if you just like to know, for me, I find it fascinating because this isn't like the Elektra stuff I've read. I've read Elektra Assassin and then all of her Daredevil stuff. And now that she's solo. Oh, I read the one series when Greg Horn was drawing those photorealistic covers. I think it's volume two of an ongoing series. I read that too, but this is the one
Oh yeah.
that, yeah.
Interesting. How did you end up deciding to dig into that series?
It looked like an epic. I
Oh,
was
that's right. I was in a trade.
I spend more time in the Marvel previews looking at the collected editions than I do the regular monthlies. Because I like look into them. I was like, oh, Cloak and Dagger, that's interesting. Or Iron Fist, oh, this collects this. You know what I mean? And if it looks and smells like a epic, I'll get it. And I still get like the hardcover omnibuses too. They're a little harder to read, but they're amazing.
Yeah, depending on the size of those, it can be a little
Yeah,
unwieldy.
they're not the book that you could like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment, I'll sit in the lobby and read it. You know, they're just too heavy.
No.
They're more like I have to be at home and I have to sit at the kitchen table properly and just lay the book flat, you know, 'cause they're heavy. You can't
Right.
just like lift them over your head and read them. I mean,
Yeah.
you could if you want to do exercises while you're reading, but I mean,
Right.
bulk up.
Yeah, even if you put them in your lap, like you might accidentally crush your wiener or something.
Yeah, they're heavy. I
Yeah.
just got the it's pretty cool 'cause the Image Revolution is now available on Amazon Prime, which is the documentary of Image.
Oh yeah.
Really good documentary. Highly recommend it. Like I'd probably watch it again, but they just collected Jim Valentino's Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's what he was popular. That's what made him one of the founding fathers of Image. So that's an
Oh right,
omnibus
yeah.
right now. Yeah.
That's cool.
That just came in. And they just did the third volume of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. That came in too.
Nice. Good stuff.
So, did you want to do a question and then go into
I
your
was
next
gonna
one?
say, yeah, do you want to do another question?
All right, so let me go back to my wall. I didn't post a lot, so I should be able to find it. I hope. Okay, so this one comes from Martin Ferretti, another Nerdy Legion. It's actually my favorite podcast. Nerdy Legion reminds me of Geek Brunch. And I like doing that because it's so free form, you know? He says, if you could take five single issues or trades with you on a trip to Mars, what would they be and why? So this is like your island one, except you're on Mars for some reason. Maybe because they're launching people into space now, SpaceX.
Yeah, that's more comic booky to go to
I don't know
Mars,
if
I
I'd
guess.
want to be on a SpaceX mission, like if you're a millionaire and you can do it, until I was more confident. I know they're having some success now, but like their first three launches or whatever, they blew up. I don't know. It'll wait for a little more stability, I think.
Yeah. Don't necessarily want to be a guinea pig for that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I
What do you
wouldn't
think?
take singles with me for sure if I was going away and that was all I was gonna have.
Yeah. So we talking like you can do omnibuses or anything like that?
Yeah.
'Cause you'd probably want to go that route because they give you more to
Yeah.
read.
I would take one of my all-time favorites, Identity Crisis, for sure.
Ugh. If I could shoot all copies of that out to Mars right now, I would.
Don't like Identity Crisis?
No.
Oh
That's one of
my
the
God.
areas, that's one of the things that you and I differ on is that's like one of my least favorite stories of all time. And that's your favorite,
That's
so
my
it's,
favorite.
I know, so it's bizarre, because I think it's a lot of things we agree, but I do not like Identity Crisis at all.
So that would be one of mine for sure.
I would want a
Barb says she would take Identity Crisis with her too.
No.
Yes.
No. Artwork. It's probably what Chris doesn't like, the artwork.
No, Chris is okay with the artwork. He likes Rags. I don't know what you don't like about Rags Morales, Barb, but Barb liked the comic book. She didn't like the art. She read Identity Crisis.
Right, because she likes Metzler, doesn't she? Like his books.
Yeah, matter of
Yeah.
fact, Meltzer talks to her on Twitter. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Send an email.
Ask her for advice on his new stories and stuff.
Yeah.
Barb wouldn't even take, she'd take her knitting supplies or whatever you call it to
Yeah.
Mars. But I was gonna say I'd like to take a big omnibus of Spider-Man. I would definitely need some Spider-Man.
I think that w I would that would be that could be on my list, but because it's Spider-Man, like I'm not as close to Spider-Man as I am to DC.
Yeah, I mean, of
So
Marvel, I'd need some Spider-Man just for the nostalgia.
I think that
So,
Michelinie Eric Larson or Michelinie McFarlane omnibus would be the one I would take if it was Spider-Man, because that's when it meant a lot to me.
yeah, I think I'd have to do the Eric Larson too, 'cause that was what I had a subscription to.
Yeah.
And I would have to do Flash, obviously. I think I'd probably take some Geoff Johns Flash, 'cause that's what got me into
Yeah,
Flash.
I'll agree. It ha the A Flash has to be on there, and because the biggest Like there's those Silver Age omnibuses, but as far as Flash, it's Wally. So I would go over a Geoff Johns omnibus.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to go for the first one or a later one, because towards the middle or the end is when he started focusing on the rogues, and that's where I would kind of want to go. But I would take at least Flash would have to be a character I'd have to take. So Identity Crisis, just because it's got like an emotional thing for me. I like love it. And then there'd have to be a Flash, and there'd have to be a Batman. And I think for Batman, I would take a Nightfall. Like if I could take the whole Nightfall, I know it's four trades, but that's how I'd take the whole Nightfall. But if I could, and I'd take one, I'd be okay with that.
I think maybe George Perez Wonder Woman would be
I
one.
thought you were going to say George Perez and Marv Wolfman's Titans.
Yeah, that would have to probably be one too. Although be tough to decide what part of it.
If you took the first omnibus, which they're resoliciting, by the way, the first hardcover one, you sold
Oh,
yours,
are they?
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're resoliciting a new printing in the latest previews. That might be a good one to take.
Yeah, that's probably be the one.
'Cause in there, don't you get like DC Comics Presents 26, and then you get one through whatever.
Right.
18 or 20, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the cutoff was, something like that.
Okay, so what I have on my list is Identity Crisis. I have a Batman and a Flash, which is a Geoff Johns Flash, and then Nightfall. I would go with Nightfall. And man, the next ones get tough, because then I would like a Wonder Woman because she's one of my all-time favorites, but I'd have to go with a Daredevil book, which I'd go with the Frank Miller Daredevil omnibus because there's a lot of issues in there. And so I'd have a see Daredevil's one of those characters that I like have to have. And then I will never stop collecting. Flash and Daredevil are the two characters, so they'd have to be up there. And then I'll. What do you got? So you got a Wonder Woman, you got a Teen Titans. What was your other one?
Spider-Man and
Spider-Man
Flash.
and Flash. So you got one more.
One more. I think I should go off of superhero probably. I don't know. I think I need to take some I think I need to take a big chunk of Ed Brubaker with me. But
Ed
it's hard to
Brubaker,
choose.
what? Criminal or
It's
what?
hard to choose. That's the problem I'm trying to decide. Because of which of his like solo, it would hard to be t hard to decide with his solo stuff. Whereas like his Captain America or his Catwoman are a little bit longer, but still superhero stuff. I'll just say his I'll stick with his Captain America, I guess. I'll stick with superhero stuff. Because honestly, if I come up with a list tomorrow, it'll be different. Anytime I do this, it'd be
Yeah,
different.
anytime I do it, it'll be different. But I can guarantee there'll be a Flash and a Daredevil for me. An Identity Crisis will be there. It will. Because I
Yeah.
can read that over and over again. For my last one, it's tough because I don't know if it'd go to like Wonder Woman or Superman. And I think overall, just because the comics meant so much to me when they had like those little icons on them. Like those, it crossed multiple volumes, just like Nightfall. You know, like it have the little bat and then the number on it. So I'm gonna go with the Death of Superman. I am. That would have to go with me. And
Yeah.
it's a big chunk in Omnibus too. But like it's all-time favorite stories, like what's up there for me is Joshua Dysart's Unknown Soldier. I love that. But it's so doggone depressing that if I was on Mars, I don't know if I'd want to be depressed. I don't know what the situation would be in.
That's a good point.
I'm surprised that you didn't go with one of your Claremont X-Men's.
Oh yeah. I could read that over and over again, like the Claremont. Well, see, like I said, it's just
The
like
thing with those though
it's really
too is
hard to
they're
decide.
dense.
Right.
They are really dense. So if you're looking for quantity, you could get a lot of out of there and a lot of rereads. For
Yeah.
me, it has to be reread and quantity. Something I want to read over and over again because that's all I have.
Right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I probably would switch out the Brubaker for Claremont Byrne X-Men.
Yeah, you seem to
And
like that a lot.
well, I've definitely read it like several times now. I'm sure someday again I'll read it again.
So the only thing that we really had in common was the Geoff Johns Flash. We'd have that first.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it wouldn't change too much. I definitely would have to have Spider-Man, Flash. New Teen Titans is hard to pass up. And
Well, you got that
X-Men,
love
I
for
have to
Wally,
say,
so
so.
it's tough.
Yeah. So I guess the only thing that might change depending on the time is like is maybe I might change the Perez Wonder Woman, depending on my mood. But who knows? It's fun to think about, though.
Yeah, it is. For me, there'd be a Daredevil, there'd be a Flash, and then a Batman something. And then I probably changed my answer on the other two. But no, Identity Crisis. So I'm pretty locked in. I
Yeah.
love Identity Crisis. Like that's my favorite. Like I'll cry on every freaking issue of that. Like I'll just bawl. Plus, it spawned me like to even go back issue hunting for like Jean Loring when she first went ape shit and the first Justice League Mind Wipe issues that happened in Justice League of America. It made me dig. You got like great calculator stuff. You have one of the best Deathstroke fight scenes in that I've seen. You have Tim Drake, and I like love Tim Drake. If there was an omnibus of Tim Drake, and it wasn't just those small ass trades, I think I might have gone that route because I love Tim Drake too, you know? If there was like an omnibus where I could collect like four or five of those trades.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim's. I like Tim. But.
Early Kyle issues are pretty awesome too.
All right.
All right.
Next one I'll do. I was talking about how there's things that, aren't on Marvel Unlimited, and how I was going through the 50 cent bins again lately, and I collected up a little bit of from Punisher. I guess it would be Volume 2. It was the first ongoing, but he had a mini series before this from
Yeah.
like I think it started in 87. Yeah, it says it's Volume 2. And I'm going to talk about issue 21. I think it was actually my friend that had this issue. I know I had, I think, 24 and 25, but
Oh,
I
I love the
forget.
cover.
Yeah, so it's got Punisher in boxing gear in a boxing ring, and
Oh shit, it's an Eric Larson is the artist on this?
yeah, so
Oh
that's.
Damn, I need to get 21 through 25 or 24.
25, I think. It's.
Yeah, 25. Oh
Yeah.
man. I didn't know. I don't have these Eric Larson issues.
Oh, really? I'm
Holy
surprised.
shit. I have the Wills Portacio ones. I have one through 18. 19.
Yeah, I read a handful of Punisher when I was a kid, and like I said, I think it was my friend actually that had this one, but we sought these out because of the Eric Larson art. And this was I think he did like maybe like a one shot or something like that, but this is kind of one of the first things he did when he came over to Marvel with these issues of Punisher, and then he got moved over
Did he come from Doom Patrol?
to Spider-Man. Yeah, Doom Patrol was, I think, one of the last things he did at DC.
Yeah, because he did like I think a handful of those before Morrison took over on 19.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So man, that's fascinating itself. I Liefeld, McFarlane, and Eric Larson came from DC.
Yeah, sorry. Got a little growling in the background. Once again, she's popped up looking out the back window, so the doggy next door must be out for its bathroom break. So she's talking. The other day, she saw deer in my neighbor's backyard
Does
from
she like to
the
go for
window.
walks or no?
No, not really. She's become like a backyard dog since we got the fence. She
But
gets a
what
little fierce.
how does she handle on a leash?
She was when we first got her before we got the fence, she was kind of we had a little difficulty with her. Like she was okay, but everyone like she would sit up the dog, like she'd get a little worked up and had to be kinda we had her in a harness and I'd be kind of careful where because she'd tug on it. And
Yeah.
try to get out of the harness. So it kind of became like it was something we were working on, and then when we decided to get the fence, we didn't really we put her on the leash like when we took her out to the car to go for a ride or whatever.
Yeah.
She's not like terrible. Anyway.
Oh, that's a big bark.
Yeah, she's
And Harley just came to the door with grass all over her back, so.
Oh, she wants to come and talk. What are you looking at? I don't even see the doggy out there. What are you looking at? What are you doing? The other day she saw a deer back there. Then she was really barking.
Yeah.
She's mad at those. They probably look like doggies to her or something.
Harley doesn't know how to process deer when we run into him on the walk. I just like want to walk past him because I'm looking for the like if they're babies, the mom's gonna charge me. I'm
Right.
like, I'm in their
Yeah.
territory.
Yeah. She's never seen one out, like outside. She's never seen. She's always been in the house and seen them from the window or whatnot. But I don't know how she would. But she was trying to, and they were looking up at her in the window. Little doggy head in the window. How much is that dog in the
The
window?
window, woof woof.
That was your cue, Mabel. Right, so anyway, let's try to get into this. So yeah, Eric Larson, he did a short little run on Punisher, and so I saw it after that. I read some other things. There was so I'd actually got a nice little I'm missing a couple ish I couldn't find a couple of the issues, but I got like 21 through 39, but I was like, I was missing like 34 or something like that. And then I wanted to get 40 because that's the last issue of a six part story called Jigsaw Puzzle, again with the villain Jigsaw. And I remember reading that when I was a kid, so I want to reread that. And none of the, so that's one of the weird things is that not a single issue of this, of Punisher Volume 2 is on Marvel Unlimited. So it's kind of bizarre. It was like 100 something issues. But anyway, issue 21, is called The Boxer, and
Thing is that with this, now that I knew Eric Larson had those issues, I almost want to make a My Comic Shop purchase today. No,
well,
because
that.
I like love his art. I even like him when he interviews and stuff, like the way he his sensibilities and stuff. Like of all the image creators, I think I like Eric Larson is my favorite. I think business wise, McFarlane and Jim Lee are pretty freaking the smartest.
Yeah, they're pretty smart. I mean,
They're pretty smart.
when I was a kid, I probably it'd probably go McFarlane, Lee, Larson, Liefeld, and I didn't really care
For
at the time.
Silvestri or Valentino.
Well, Silvestri next, and then I didn't really know or understand Valentino much when I was a kid. But now it probably now Larson is probably number one. My taste now.
Look, from my taste, yeah, Larson. Artistically and even storytelling wise is still my favorite. Like but even back in the day when he came out with Savage Dragon, like I think story wise it was in the his world building with like Freak Force and just the characters that surrounded Mighty Man and all the ones around it, they just click with me different. Like it has such a feel, like and the feel is not like a modern feel. It's like an old school feel that I just like. Like I just gravitate towards that.
Oh yeah, I mean looking back, I mean that's in my taste now, whether I'm looking at what they're doing now or looking at what like looking back again, like looking back at the image early image stuff. You know, I think most of what Lee Liefeld and to a lesser extent Lee did with Wildcats and Youngblood and that kind of stuff was mostly like really derivative of Marvel,
Yeah.
where I think Savage Dragon, I think Larson, I mean he also had like been working on like Savage Dragon as a character since he was a kid, you know, so he was pretty prepared. But
Yeah.
Mabel, come on,
What does
relax.
she see the other doggy or what?
I thought so, but I don't know if that's if it's still out there or not. If she's really. Anyways, all right, so yeah, so what was I saying? Oh, Larson, Savage Dragon, and then I think Spawn, like as a creation, was pretty unique as well.
Yeah, if you like invert it, like if you see what McFarlane did and you go back and read, like they have an omnibus of the McFarlane Spider-Man that I read. I read the entire thing except for the X-Force when he crossed over with X-Force. But it feels more like Spawn than Spider-Man. So
Yeah, I mean, I
I
think
almost
like
think like it's not the Michelinie McFarlane thing. It's more like Spawn.
Yeah, and I think that that was more like the McFarlane feel than like. Than Spawn being like Spawn's not a derivative of Spider-Man, you know.
Yeah.
He was just already kind of working on the feel that he was going for with Spawn with
But
the
he puts Spider-Man in really dark situations that
Yeah.
like the main series never did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
The alleyways, the homeless, it had the same common denominators. There's
Yeah,
even
definitely.
a homeless guy that looks like the like Violator. I mean, he looks exactly like Violator. Like I could show you an image of him and you'll say, "Wow. That was
Oh yeah.
that spawned out the clown."
Yeah, I mean, I remember that 'cause I was super duper excited for that McFarlane Spider-Man series. You know, and when the early issues of Spawn came out and stuff. And yeah, I definitely see the connection there, like where he had a vibe going that he continued over into Spawn, with Youngblood, with Wildcats. Like, I think they were a little bit more like when they were tasked to kind of come up with their own creations and their own heroes and stuff, they were a little more derivative. But
Yes.
anyways, so Punisher 21, called The Boxer, it was written by Mark Baron. The inker is actually Scott Williams. John Wellington, colorist, Ken Bruzenek, letterer. True to the name, true to the cover, starts off with Punisher showing up at a place called Cobb's Gym to, at least as these states working out, to work out a little bit. A guy comes in, and into the locker room, called Derek, that asks him if he is looking to spar, tells him that there's a boxer named BJ Johnson. That's actually a funny name. Until I said that out loud, I didn't realize BJ Johnson.
Because of the BJ,
Yeah, BJ. Well,
then
BJ
what? And then what a Johnson represents?
a Johnson. Yeah, exactly. I didn't.
I
It didn't
wonder
occur to me until I said it
if
out
they
loud.
thought of that. They said, "Oh, I'm just gonna be Jay Johnson."
I wouldn't put it past Mike Baron. Like, he's pretty crazy dude. It seemed, at least the stuff he writes. But anyway, BJ Johnson's actually a an actual pro boxer, and Derek tells him that he's actually there at the gym, looking to. No, he's just like working out, and his manager's offering $300 to anybody that'll go three rounds with him. So they go out and they see BJ pretty much just like take cares of he takes care of this guy that's contender for this money. And so Punisher says, "Give me half an hour to warm up, and I'll take it on." And so he does so. He warms up and stuff, and he goes in the ring, you know. And Derek's telling him while he's warming up, he says, "You know, so just all you got to do is stay in, and they'll pay you even if you don't last the three rounds." But you know, and the manager says, "All right," he's calling him Pops. He's saying that, you know, Punisher looks actually like he's a little old for this and stuff. But the Punisher has, they're going at it a bit, and then the Punisher steps on his foot and elbows him in the face, mostly to see if, you know, BJ is, if he's been around long enough to know that old routine. And apparently he's not, but that pisses him off pretty much, and guarantees that Punisher's gonna get his ass kicked like from then on. So around page 10 or so, we finally start to get 10 and 11, we start to get a sense of why Punisher's doing this, what's his whole deal. BJ actually comes to the locker room and says, "Hey, long and short of it is that BJ kind of respects that Frank got in the ring with him and whatnot, and offers to buy him a drink." His manager is not happy about him leaving, but he leaves anyway. So they're at the bar, and you know, BJ's got a fight coming up. He's not drinking, but he buys one for Frank, and he introduces him to his girlfriend, this woman named Iris. And it turns out that, you know, Frank is investigating the manager, BJ's manager. that, you know, he's got a history. He's a boxer himself, but he's also got like a history of being involved in organized crime and fixing fights and stuff like that. So Punisher goes back to his warehouse and he has like a meeting with Microchip, his like hacker dude, that gives him the latest information on the manager, Daniels, and tells him to Frank tells him, you know, find out what you can about Iris Green, BJ's girlfriend, and all that. And it comes up interesting that she actually graduated from, like, when you get the impression when she's introduced, she seems just kind of like she's dressed in like a really small dress and fishnets, and her hair's like teased out all over the place, and she's got like huge hoop earrings on and stuff. And it turns out it's kind of like an act because she's Microchip digs up that she's got a degree in pharmacology, and she actually attended something called Scully's Ninja Training Camp. So armed
Just
with
so
that
she can maybe
information.
maybe attack the dance studio in Electra.
Right, exactly, yeah. So later on, a couple days before BJ's big fight, Punisher goes back to the gym and asks his manager if he's taking any money, and Punisher makes a bet with him that BJ will knock down the guy he's sparring with in the first round. Well, he's trying to cover up the fact that he's dropping some like a chemical into BJ's water bucket, a little chemical that's going to give him like real bad diarrhea. But things don't go according to plan. He's actually right that BJ knocks the guy down in the first round and he wins $1,000 off Daniels, but it pisses Daniels off. He won't talk to him anymore. And that was actually not what Frank wanted because BJ doesn't. He doesn't even work up a sweat, doesn't need the water bucket, and Punisher's plan doesn't work out. She actually breaks into the apartment. This is the first time we see him in the like the regular Punisher getup with the skull and whatnot. He breaks into Iris's apartment while she's waiting for him. She's lying in bed like she's asleep, but she's awake. And when he gets near her bed, she stabs him in the arm with a needle that's basically a paralyzing agent. She hops out of bed in the like in the regular Eric Larson like negligee that I remember seeing
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane and something similar many times throughout the. Throughout my childhood, this definitely burned on my memory. But so she puts the TV on for him so he can see the fight, and but he's basically passed out on the ground with his neck propped up against the wall, unable to move. So there's a page where it kind of shows him passing the time like. He's watching various things like without any sort of choice as to what's on the TV until the game finally comes on. And over time, like when they sing the national anthem, he can start to move his fingers a little. By the third round, he's got his hand on the pocket of one of the pouches on his belt, but he can't open the flap yet. Finally, like by the end of the fight, you can get into the pocket because he's got an antidote in there. Meanwhile, you know, he saw that BJ, after the trainer gives him a bottle, in the sixth round, BJ gets beat. So Daniels, this is kind of his trainer. This is all something that he set up, and Punisher is trying to stop because there's dialogue kind of throughout about like his respect for boxing and as a sport and its history and stuff like that, and how he takes it really personally that this guy would be fixing boxing. Besides the fact that like he's going to be after organized crime in general. So when Daniels actually shows up at the apartment to take care of Punisher, thinking that he's still paralyzed, he should be, doesn't know that he had the antidote because he was kind of prepared something because of the information that Microchip found out. He's ready when Daniels comes close to inject him with an actual something to kill him. Kicks it out of his hand. Tries to punch him in the nuts, but he gets him in the stomach. Daniels is like a real huge guy. So they do a bit of hand to hand. They struggle for a couple pages, and finally Punisher is able to get a hold of the hypodermic and injects Daniels in the neck with what Daniels was going to use on him. So Daniels is dying. Punisher calls in to the hospital where they took BJ after the fight, tells him tell the doctors to treat him for synthetic alkaloid toxins, and hangs up. And then he takes a look around the apartment, and he finds a brochure for Scully's Ninja Training Camp. And so it actually says to be continued. So he'll kind of, I guess, go off to investigate that. But yeah, it was a good story. It was interesting that like there's one shot, maybe they included it for this reason. There's one shot, like one panel rather, where when he's back at his base and talking to Microchip, he kind of takes a weird stance. I don't know why he's doing it, but he's got a rifle. He looks down the sight of it and stuff, just like carries it with him. But other than that, like all the action and everything is all hand to hand stuff. I guess it kind of fits the nature of the book being about boxing and stuff that he doesn't really shoot any weapons in it. But yeah, it was a neat issue. It's cool to revisit it so many years later.
Yeah, I never read it. But I am gonna I'm pretty sure I'm gonna place an order today.
I'm pretty sure you are too.
I'm gonna get like 20 ish 'cause I'm missing issue 22 even though it's not Eric Larson. I'm just gonna get 20 through 25. And then there's like a few annuals of like I have all of the Flash Volume 1 and Volume 2, except I'm from 1973 on, but I'm missing a few annuals of the Wally West Flash, like the Dead Earth, the Pulp Heroes, the couple of those. I'd like to complete that. And then my Ghost Rider. So I might pick a few of those odds and ends that I'm missing. Yeah. I think that. Oh, and Stormwatch. I want to finish my Stormwatch.
Yeah, 'cause they don't have free shipping, so you got to kind of order enough to make it worth it. I mean,
Yeah, make it worth it.
they have
It's
cheap
cheap
economy
shipping. Yeah, it's
shipping.
cheap economy shipping. I usually just get a box, one of those big boxes, and I'm usually set.
It usually doesn't take very long. I mean, they're in Texas. It usually takes like 4 or 5 days to get here.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
So, I've been reading Checkmate. This is the Greg
Oh,
Rucka
right.
Checkmate. So I'm going to be talking about two particular issues. Let me see which ones they are. They're the ones with the Suicide Squad.
Oh, cool.
And I have to pull it up on, 'cause This I hate when the trades don't have the cover image. They have the cover image, but it doesn't tell you what issue it is. I hate when they do that.
All right,
So
yeah.
let me go pull it up. And this one's close to our border of 10-year limit. So if I go to Checkmate and I look at the covers, I'll be able to tell you which one it is. Yeah, it's issues 6 and issue 7. This series I had read back then when it was coming out. And all I can say is I didn't appreciate it as much as I appreciate it now. So like it's even gotten I mean there's so much DC in there. There's so much. I mean I it has a Suicide Squad team up in there. It has Sergeant Steel. If you know him from Charlton, he's one of the Charlton characters that came in. He's working for the DEO. It has even though it doesn't mention him, I know who it is because of the symbol. It has Nemesis in one issue. So if you're a Suicide Squad fan or you read I think it was Detective Comics. One of those had a backup Nemesis storyline. Plus, he had his own around Final Crisis time. Nemesis had like two miniseries. Miniseries. That's a weird. That's not a word. But it has Shadow Pack. Like I don't remember them having Shadow Pack. Like one of the agents, Midnight, goes in there. One of the agents is the granddaughter of Mademoiselle Marie, who's from GI Combat. Like, you see all these things. You have Mr. Terrific. Alan Scott got taken out early because Amanda Waller's a bitch. Like, she manipulated him. And now Mr. Terrific is the White King. And he's in a relationship with Sasha Bardot. And if you know Sasha Bardot, she came from Batman. She was Batman's bodyguard. And then she's tied into the OMAX because the OMAX took over her body. And that's why she's in this series. She has that weird eye because she's part OMAC. There's just so much depth in here. And,
That's like your dream girl.
Yeah,
A woman that's
well,
part
that's like part
OMAC.
OMAC. She's having sex with Mr. Terrific.
There's like that. There's a lot of technology in that
Yeah, well, I bet you Mr. Terrific knows how to tweak those wires. Like, he's a pretty smart man. He could figure it out.
I mean, you kind of, if your name's Mr. Terrific, you kind of gotta be, right? Like, you can't really walk around calling yourself that and not be able to
Yeah.
take care of business,
Yeah.
you know?
So the issues I'm talking about, okay, is there's this kid who has like the ability, like the powers of a sun, and there's this foreign nation who's using his abilities to power their whole nation, and they're selling power. And then one of the big adversaries in Checkmate from the start to where I am now is Cobra. Like they're the main adversary. It's like G.I. Joe versus Cobra. Except Cobra in DC is with the K. K Cobra. And man, one of the things you really learn in this book is how manipulative Amanda is. Like she's always been a manipulator, but she will hurt those of goodwill to get what she wants. Like she'll take out Alan Scott, she'll do what she needs to do. And in this one, she's like manipulating through two layers. She breaks out Colonel Flagg from a prison, and him and Bronze Tiger are kind of like the backup for this weird Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad has-beens that she's manipulated in the past, except these has-beens have not, they don't even know they're working for her. That's the irony of the situation. They are working for her, but they don't know it. And you, as you read this, you see the complexity of it, and that includes a Mirror Master. And this is when he's a cocaine head. We've seen him in the Wally West issues snorting cocaine. You have him. He was in Suicide Squad at one time. We had Javelin, who's a Green Lantern villain. He's also in there. We have Punch and Julie, which are amazing, and they just had their kid. We have Icicle, who I think was in the JSA early issues of I know he's been in JSA Classified. Let me see who else you had, but this group goes out. They go out on this mission, and they lose. This actually features the death of Javelin, the death of Punch, and the death of one other. Who was it? There's one character. Oh, it had Plastique. Oh, Tattoo Man. If you remember this, Final, was it Final Crisis, or was it the Je Ident what was I'm getting confused with the Grant Morrison event with the Geoff Johns event. Infinite Crisis versus Final Crisis. I think it's after Infinite Crisis, not Final Crisis. But there's two Tattooed Man. This is the original, the Green Lantern Tattooed Man, and he dies in this mission. So they go on this mission to rescue this kid that has the power of a sun. They lose Punch, and like Punch gets killed really, and Julie is. I mean, Punch and Julie are like the Joker and Harlequin, but they're both more like Harlequins. They're both freaking insane. It's insane that they even have a child. Like the fact that they have a child is scary as shit. But Punch gets killed, and she like doesn't know how to deal with it. So she's like, well, Icicle, maybe I can hook up with you now. Like she's, her husband's dead, and she's going after like the next available guy. That's how she's dealing with his death. I mean, it's just insane. They actually rescue, the boy, and return him back to Amanda Waller. And so she gets what she wants. With the help of Colonel Flagg, the backup, Colonel Flagg and Bronze Tiger, who she's also manipulating. So she tries to hook up with Icicle. Javelin was the first one to die, and then Punch died, and then Tattoo Man was the. He actually betrayed the Suicide Squad. He was the leak, and he was working with Cobra, and Icicle found out because of things that he just noticed. He's like, it's interesting that blue jay tattoo on your arm is gone. Like he just noticed stuff, and he freezes his ass and pretty much who's the one? Oh, Julie. She shattered him because this whole mission led to the death of oh, he wasn't working for Cobra. You know who he was working for? The calculator. So they even have that whole. Do you remember around this time? They had that secret society, and the calculator was one of the guys. Well, the tattoo man was the leak to the calculator, so it wasn't Cobra. It was to the calculator. And that's Julie shattered him and killed him. And they eventually get away through the mirrors. Mirror Master does get pretty shot up, though. So they accomplished their mission. They don't even know what they were doing for Amanda Waller. And it leads into a lot of other stuff. That's when it goes off into three guys that are part of Cobra, and one of them is a what do you call it when they an insider? What do they call it when they go undercover? It was undercover for Checkmate, and that's when the DEO gets involved. You know how you always have those cop dramas where one organization oversteps the other? and they
Yeah.
screw up the mission. Well, in this case, DEO screwed up Checkmate's plan to get the Cobra because they went in too early, and they totally jacked it up for him. And that's how the Shadow Pact gets involved, because they have to pretend they have to get that one guy that was undercover back in the good graces of Cobra so he could accomplish his mission. But Checkmate is man, this is so good. If you haven't read it, Chris, you would love it. The thing I think you would love about it is all the hooks it has to everything. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, it's not A-list, but if you're just into the history of DC, I mean, the fact that you get like Sarge Steel and all these characters, it's phenomenal. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I've actually wanted to read that for a long time. I still haven't gotten around to it, but 'cause I like Greg Rucka a lot, and I like the idea of him, dealing with like spy agencies and stuff like that
Yeah,
in
they
the
just
DC.
re-released the trade, so you might be it'd be a good time for you to get it. It's called Checkmate by Greg Rucka, Book One.
Nice. Yeah, it might
Yeah.
be. I think the issues are easy to come by, but it might just be easier that way.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it's nice to just have a trade.
I think you would I think you would really dig this. Like
Yeah.
I mean, I know you like to comb into the characters that aren't always A-list, and this is that book.
Yeah, your description sounds what I kind of was thinking it would be like.
And the powerful thing about it is, I think they let him do pretty much what he wants with these characters because they're not A-list. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so it's pretty fascinating.
It's kind of like with what Gail Simone was able to do with Secret Six for the same
Oh
reason, kind of.
yeah. I wish they would have a Secret Six omnibus.
Yeah, I mean, they did. It wasn't too long ago that they were doing the trades.
Yeah.
I think so. But.
Wonder if they're still available. I mean, in print.
I think so. It wasn't really. I think it was just last year they were still coming out.
Yeah. All right, do you have
Run.
anything else?
Not really. I'll do real quick. I took a page out of your playbook, and I grabbed an issue of Young Romance
Oh, nice.
for 50 cents. Even though it was a 20 cents cover. It's actually a pretty beat up issue, but this is issue number 189. But I won't go into too much detail. It's amazing, just like how you've talked about. Like, I said I was reading it. My wife came in the room. I said, "Hey, I have a comic here for you when I'm done. It'll show you some recipes to use to get your man." Because there's like a get your man contest, and they give you like first prize is $5, and then second and third prize are $2. And it's like you send in your recipes that you use to get your man.
Do these have to be cooking recipes, or are they actual
They're
like
food, yeah, food that you
sexual recipes? I don't
no the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
What was one of the recipes? This is Geek Brunch Retro. What was
One of the ones that I think is the funniest because of the name is called it's not the $5 prize winner, but it's called Just for Him Brownie Alaska's. So I like the name.
Hey, are the recipes in there? Did they actually give the recipe? Hey, can you Photoshop these? I would love to put this on the episode thread. Can you just take a picture with your phone and send them over to me?
Yeah, I'll try the phone if not scan it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's one story about a girl who, she's always been in love with this guy since they were little, but she's stuck in the friend zone, and he ends up dating a girl that she helps him get with the girl, and the girl ends up being, like a two-timer, and she finds out about that and that kind of thing. But they, they end up in, they end up together in the end. There's What to Do If You're Too Shy, like 10 tips if you're too shy, how to get over it. Number 9 is like, don't talk about things you don't really know anything about, especially if there's someone in the crowd who is an expert on the subject. Then there's a story called Your Man's Gone. It's about this girl who her man gets annoyed and ends up leaving because she's always going to help other people who like are upset or in trouble. And she never takes any time for herself and to spend with her boyfriend, and so finally she learns that lesson, and they get back together. There's a funny one page thing called Do's and Don'ts of Dating that actually made me laugh because this girl's like real sarcastic. She's like, "Hey Connie, watch me sink a couple of shots," and she's like, "I'm watching," and he's like, he throws it and doesn't any come anywhere near the basket. Oops, missed. And she says, "What a loser. You missed it by a mile." Better get bifocals. And then, like each one of the things is like basically her like being real mean to her boyfriend. And she's like, thinks that she should be honest. But, and then there's another story. I forget what this one's about. Oh yeah, like two guys are fighting over this girl because the one guy's like a real fancy guy that comes to town, and like her boyfriend's jealous and stuff. There's a page that the last thing I'll talk about. Well, two things. There's a page where people sent in poems, and again, it's a contest where it's like $5 first prize, $2 for second prize. Now, the second prize, I'm gonna read the poem real quick. It's called "But You Didn't." Remember the time I spilled Coke on your rug? I thought you'd kill me, but you didn't. And remember the time I smashed the fender of your car? I thought you'd kill me, but you didn't. And remember the time, just wait, remember the time I insisted we go to the beach? You said it would surely rain. Well, it did. And I thought you'd scream, "I told you so," but you didn't. I wanted to make it all up to you the minute you came home from Vietnam, but you didn't.
Oh wow.
I know. It's like I read that and I was like, well, this is
Damn,
really.
that started off hilarious and then got damn depressing.
I know. I was like,
Oh fuck.
whoa. I
I
was like,
want
whoa,
this comic
that
now. Shit.
I was like,
189.
whoa, that really took a turn. I was like, damn. But yeah, so the last thing is a 20-page quiz, and it does kind of make up for some of like the old-fashionedness of its advice and stuff like that in this quiz, and that it's called "Does He Treat You Right?" And you actually score better and do better if like you're your own person and you don't let don't let boys walk all over you and tell you what to do all the time and stuff. So that's a little bit better advice than some of the stuff in here. But yeah, I it sounded pretty.
These provide so much entertainment for me. Like I,
Yeah,
they're fascinating to me.
that's the when you've talked about them before on the show, like they sounded pretty entertaining. So when I saw one in the 50-cent bin, I had to grab it.
$189.
Was pretty amused. It's a
These
pretty
books aren't
interesting
cheap.
snapshot.
Oh, for some reason, this book on my database, they're like you're looking at 999, and then this issue is $36. I don't understand.
Holy cow, this
Why
one's
did
pretty
that go
beefed
up? 189. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean this one I found is pretty beat up. It's got some writing on the back and it's all intact though.
Yeah, I'm just going really quick to see what it costs on my comic shop if they even have it. Romance comics are hard to get. They really are. Like most of these are unavailable, like on my comic shop right now. None of them are there. 189. I'm almost there. Yes, they don't have it. Not in stock. Damn it. That
Well,
recipe thing is deep, man. That I want to see those recipes.
I'll scan it for you.
Yeah. Man, that poem was crazy.
I know. I just glanced at it and I was like, oh, this is pretty silly. And then I read that. I was like, damn, wow, you really turned it on the end there. That's pretty rough.
Wow.
I'm surprised they didn't give it number, they didn't give it first prize, but she got $2 for that.
I just have one more I want to mention.
Sure.
This is Batgirl. And I think it's around number 8 that I want to talk about. Number 8.
It's
It's
the
8 and 9.
Cassie
Yeah, Cassandra.
or Cassandra, I mean.
Yeah, Cassie Kane.
Yeah.
The thing that if I find fascinating about this issue is, or this series is, when she started her series, like she was in No Man's Land. That's where she got introduced. That's where she gets fleshed out about how powerful she really is. In this series, she kind of loses her abilities almost after one or two issues, maybe issue 3. She loses her abilities because a telepath touches her. And then she like loses her ability to forecast movement, like to see movement the way she used to do. And then she's able to communicate more, like her brain just flips the switch. So she, in issues, I'll just talk about issue, let's see what it is. Issue 8. I think it's issue 8. Maybe it's issue 9. I'll talk about issue 8 and 9. What the hell? Just summarize them in a really quick synopsis of what this is. She is lost without her abilities. Like Batman takes her off, takes away her cowl, and says, "You can train, but it's at least going to take you up to 5 years to be where you need to be because you lost this ability." So Batman's even frustrated, so he goes to Kane and beats the fuck out of him. I mean, he's like, you couldn't, why did you do this to this girl, and what did you do to train her so I can get her abilities back? Like, he really feels frustrated for her, and he wants to get her abilities back, and he wants to do it in the fastest way possible. And that's not working out. Well, Casey actually runs into Lady Shiva, and she sees her movements, and she's like, "She has my abilities. How the hell does she get it?" So her first run-in is trying to save this woman from being killed by Lady Shiva, and Lady Shiva beats her to a freaking pulp. Like, her arms are dislocated, all kinds of stuff. She's in an ambulance. She's torn apart pretty bad, but not he, she didn't kill her. And Casey's in the back of the ambulance, and she can't understand. She's like, you got to remember, she's raised by an assassin. She's like, "Why didn't she kill me? I don't get it. Why did she kill me?" So she like snaps her arm back in, and she jumps out of the ambulance. She grabs her shirt, jumps out of the ambulance. She's all bandaged, goes after Lady Shiva. And she tries, she pulls a fast one on Lady Shiva. She like punches her in the face. And nobody punches Lady Shiva, but she does it like a cheap shot. She like goes after her jewels, like try to shake her hands, and then as she's shaking her hand, punches her in the face before she even sees it, like an unpredictable move. And Lady Shiva got an appreciation for her. But then they get into it again, and she's still no match for Lady Shiva, but she tells Lady Shiva, she goes, "You have the abilities that I once had. Can you give them back to me?" And Lady Shiva says, "I can, but in 1 year you're gonna have to fight me." And so she essentially sold. She made a deal with Lady Shiva to get her abilities back. Shows back up at the cave, and Batman's like, "How did you get your abilities back?" And she doesn't tell him the truth. She just says they came back. And So now she's back to being the bat girl that has the same predictability movements and all that stuff. And she had to do it to kind of like sell herself to Lady Shiva. So in 1 year, there's gonna be a throwdown, and it's gonna be to the death. She told her it's to the death. It's not gonna be just a fight. So yeah, fascinating. I am loving this rereading Batgirl. It's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, I actually read some of that back when it came out early on. I can't remember how long I stuck with it, but I read like the early part of that series.
Yeah.
I sort of remember from you talking about it. Not really well, but sounds familiar.
It's good stuff. We have one more question we can knock out real quick.
Okay.
This is from Jim Dietz. He said, if Marvel had
Jim.
done more crossovers with DC in the 70s, what would you have liked to see? And he gives like examples: Warlock with Green Lantern by Jim Starlin, Conan and Korak by Joe Kubert, or FF and Doom Patrol by Stan and Jack. You know, like around the 70s, they did Superman, Spider-Man. You know, he's like, if they
Yeah.
did more, what would you like to see?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Something I'd love to think about for a while.
Well, that's out of your you weren't even born yet. No.
That's okay. I like a lot of comics that I wasn't born yet. I was born when the new Teen Titans was coming out, but I was not old enough to read them.
Yeah.
But speaking of, one thing I wish would have existed was the second part of their crossover with the Uncanny X-Men, because they were supposed to do the reverse, and it was going to be Wolfman and Perez that did part two,
That
and
could be
then it
one of the
never.
better crossovers ever written, you know?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's pretty awesome. It's well done. But yeah, I wish they would have been able to do the flip side. But that's the ones that just never existed. That it's a tough one. But there a lot of potential. I really like the examples he gives.
Yeah, he gave good examples. Or you could do Conan and Korak by Buscema or something, you know? So
Yeah,
it would be pretty interesting.
that would be cool. I almost feel like I'd like to think about that one and come
Come back, yeah.
next time. Like I'll prepare some ideas for next time, because that's a good question. I'd like to come up with some cool
Yeah,
ones.
because he's doing the creative team as well as the
Right.
as well as the period piece.
Yeah, let me just try to come up with some ones for next time. We can tell Rob too if he can make it, if he wants to try to come up with some.
Yeah. That sounds good. We'll do it next time.
All right.
Because it requires some thought.
Yes. It's a good one though.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Geek Brunch
Retro
Retrocast with
crap.
Retro
Geek Brunch
Crap with
retro crap.
Mike and Chris, and Rob is off on Rob Krieger. Huh?
Hey, look at that.
Rob Krieger is off on assignment. He's at a party right now, actually.
Yeah, he's on a safari hunting wild animals.
Yeah.
Not extinct one, those.
He's at a party and they're playing Bob Seger.
So no one messes up his name.
Yeah. So we are that actually worked because my brain, before I said it, thought of Bob Seger again.
See?
You've made the correlation there, so you fixed the bug.
Yeah.
But you can reach us at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch or at MythMakingETC or at Rob Krieger. And that's I before E, except after C. That's how you
Yep.
spell it. We are on Twitter. Not Twitter, Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like button and follow Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and you can also follow From Kid to Flash. You sometimes post there, which is at the Mythmaking ETC site.
Yes, sir.
And da 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 da. I think that's about it. Leave an iTunes review if you get a chance. I know a lot of people in today's world don't use iTunes, but I still do. And we still have reviews, so I don't know where else you can leave a review except on the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com.
Yep.
And that's about it.
I think so.
And you can go take care of Mabel now.
She's back. How's it going there, babes?
She was growling there for a while.
Yeah,
I heard
it's
that.
yeah. Everything okay out there? You check things out? Yeah, she got to go out there, and while we've been talking, she got to go out and investigate, make sure
Yeah.
everything's all good. The perimeter is secure.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, you
Think
too, man.
about that question.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.